Today, let's talk about one of the most remarkable and debated stories in the Bible, the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. What really happened in these cities? Why did God decide to punish them with fire and brimstone? What is the significance of this story for us today? We will answer these and other questions now. To begin, we need to understand the historical and geographical context of these cities. Sodom and Gomorrah were located in the region of Canaan, south of the Dead Sea, where Israel and Jordan are today. They were part of a group of five cities called the Cities of the Plain, which also included Admah, Zeboiim, and Zoar. These cities were situated in a fertile and prosperous area that the Bible compares to the Garden of Eden, Genesis 13:10. Despite the abundance and wealth, the inhabitants of these cities were extremely wicked and sinful. The Bible reports that the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was so grievous that it went up to heaven, Genesis 18:20. But what did this sin consist of? The Bible does not detail completely, but some texts offer clues. For example, Ezekiel mentions that the sin of Sodom included pride, gluttony, laziness, lack of compassion, and injustice, Ezekiel 16:49 to 50. The book of Jude adds that they indulged in fornication and pursued unnatural desires, Jude 1:7. These sins aroused God's wrath, who decided to send two angels to verify the situation and, if necessary, destroy the cities. The angels arrived in Sodom in the evening and were received by Lot, Abraham's nephew, who offered them hospitality in his house. However, the men of the city surrounded the house and demanded that Lot bring out the angels so they could abuse them. Lot refused and tried to protect his guests, but the men of Sodom attempted to break into the house, Genesis 19:1-9. At this critical moment, the angels intervened, took Lot and his family out of the house, and led them out of the city, warning them not to look back and to flee to the mountains. At dawn, God rained down fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah, destroying the cities and all their inhabitants. Only Lot and his two daughters were saved, fleeing to a cave in the mountains. Unfortunately, Lot's wife, disobeying the angel's command, looked back and turned into a pillar of salt, Genesis 19:15 26. But what can we learn from this story? What message does God want to convey to us with this account? There are several important lessons. The first is that God is just and holy and does not tolerate sin. He sees everything we do and knows what is in our hearts. He judges nations and people according to their deeds and punishes the wicked and rebellious. The case of Sodom and Gomorrah exemplifies how God acts against sin. He does not delight in the destruction of the wicked, but desires that they repent and convert. Therefore, before sending the punishment, God listened to Abraham's intercession, who pleaded for mercy for the cities if at least 10 righteous people could be found in them, Genesis 18:22 to 33. The second lesson is that God is faithful and protective, and He saves the righteous. God did not forget Lot, who was a righteous man and suffered because of the wickedness around him, 2 Peter 2:7-8. God sent His angels to take him out of the city and ensure his safety, giving him a chance to escape the punishment and preserve his life. He also gave clear instructions on what Lot should do and what he should not do. God took care of Lot and his family and fulfilled his promise to save him. This shows us that God is loving but also demanding, Hebrews 12:6. The third lesson is about obedience and trust in God. We should not cling to the world. Lot had to leave everything behind, showing that our faith and obedience to God must come above all else. This is a call to detach ourselves from material goods and sinful practices, trusting that God has a greater plan for us. On that decisive night, I was forced to abandon everything, my home, my belongings, my friends, and my city. I had to renounce all that the world offered and follow God's will. I fled without looking back, without regrets or doubts. My wife, however, could not do the same. She looked back and lost her life, because she clung to the world and disobeyed God. This shows that we too must be willing to follow God, even if it means leaving behind what we love most. We need to have faith in God, not in the world, as the first epistle of John teaches us. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. 1 John 2:15, 17. But how did these cities become so corrupt? The Bible recounts a crucial moment in history when Lot, Abraham's nephew, the father of faith, decided to separate from his uncle and choose the plain of Jordan as his place of residence. Lot was a righteous man who believed in God, but was seduced by the appearance of wealth and well-being of that region without considering the moral danger it represented. So Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom, Genesis 13, 11-12. I made a grave mistake by approaching Sodom, for little by little my faith and my family were contaminated by the influence of that depraved environment. At first I only pitched my tent near the city, but later I moved inside and became one of its main citizens. Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom, Genesis 19:1. The city gate was where important decisions were made and justice was administered. At that time, I had a position of authority and prestige in Sodom, but at the cost of my integrity and testimony. Not only did I adapt to Sodom's culture, but I also allowed my children to marry people from that city who did not share my faith or values. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, who had married his daughters, and said, "Get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking. Genesis 19:14. I had lost all credibility with my family, who did not believe me when I warned them of God's judgment. God, who is holy and just, could not tolerate the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah any longer and decided to send two angels to destroy them. But first, he revealed his plan to Abraham, who was his friend and faithful servant. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing, since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I have known him, in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him." Genesis 18:17 19. Abraham, upon learning of God's intention, had compassion for me and my family, and pleaded with God to have mercy on us. He asked God if he would destroy the cities if he found a certain number of righteous people in them, starting with 50 and ending with 10. God responded that he would not destroy the cities if he found that number of righteous people. Then he said, "Let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak but once more. Suppose 10 should be found there." And he said, "I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. Genesis 18, 32-33. So when the two angels arrived in Sodom, I received them and offered them hospitality in my home. But when the men of Sodom saw the visitors, they were filled with lust and surrounded my house, demanding that I bring out the angels so they could abuse them. Now before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every quarter, surrounded the house." Genesis 19:4. In a desperate act to protect my guests, I offered my own virgin daughters, which shows how much I had lost my moral sense. In that desperate situation, I said to the men of Sodom, "See now, I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please, let me bring them out to you, and you may do to them as you wish. Only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they have come under the shadow of my roof." Genesis 19:8. But the men of Sodom refused my offer and became furious with me, claiming that I, a foreigner, was interfering in their affairs and now pretended to judge them. They threatened to do more harm to me than to the angels I was protecting. Before they could do any harm, the angels pulled me inside the house and closed the door. Then the angels struck the men who were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they became weary trying to find the door. But the men reached out their hands and pulled Lot into the house with them and shut the door. And they struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they became weary trying to find the door. Genesis 19:10-11. The angels then asked me if there were any other members of my family in the city and instructed me to take everyone out of the place because they were about to destroy Sodom due to the great outcry against it that had reached before the Lord. Then the men said to Lot, "Have you anyone else here? Son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, and whomever you have in the city, take them out of this place." Genesis 19:12. That morning, with urgency, the angels took me by the hand, along with my wife and two daughters, and led us out of the city. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, "Arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city." Genesis 19:15. Once outside the city, the angels told me to flee to the mountains and not look back, nor stop anywhere in the plain. So it came to pass, when they had brought them outside, that he said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed." Genesis 19:17. However, fearing the journey to the mountains, I asked the angels to let me flee to a small nearby city called Zoar. Then Lot said to them, "Please know, my lords, indeed now your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have increased your mercy, which you have shown me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil overtake me and I die. See now, this city is near enough to flee to, and it is a little one. Please let me escape there, is it not a little one? And my soul shall live." Genesis 19, 18-20. The angels agreed to my request and instructed me to hurry. And he said to him, "See, I have favored you concerning this thing also, in that I will not overthrow this city for which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there." Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. Genesis 19, 21-22. Thus I went to Zoar, and as I arrived, the Lord rained down fire and brimstone from heaven upon Sodom and Gomorrah, destroying those cities and the entire plain. The sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar, Genesis 19:23. This was the moment when I realized the magnitude of God's mercy and justice, witnessing divine judgment while I was safe in the small city of Zoar. When I arrived in Zoar, then the Lord rained down fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah, coming directly from the heavens, and destroyed the cities and all the plain, along with all the inhabitants of those cities and all the vegetation of the land. But my wife, who was behind me, looked back despite the angel's warnings. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Genesis 19:26. My wife could not resist the temptation to look back, perhaps driven by curiosity, nostalgia, or disbelief. Whatever the reason, her attitude showed that she did not value God's mercy, nor did she obey His word, and she could not detach herself from her past life. Therefore, she suffered the consequences of her disobedience and lost her life. Abraham, who was at the place where he had spoken with the Lord, rose early the next morning and looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah. He saw the smoke rising from the land like the smoke of a furnace. And Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord. Then he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain. And he saw, and behold, the smoke of the land which went up like the smoke of a furnace. Genesis 19, 27-28. Thus ended the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, two cities that were wiped off the face of the earth because of their great sin. But God remembered Abraham and saved me and my two daughters, the only survivors of that catastrophe. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had dwelt. Genesis 19:29. We must be attentive to the times we live in and prepare for the return of Christ. The story of Sodom and Gomorrah serves as a warning to us who live in a world increasingly distant from God and more like those cities. Jesus said that His coming would be like the days of Lot, when people lived their lives without concern beyond their pleasures and businesses. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, They sold. They planted. They built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Luke 17:28-29. Therefore, we must be vigilant and not be distracted by the things of this world, but seek the things above, where Christ is. We must be ready to receive Him and not look back, as Lot's wife did. We must keep our faith and not lose it. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12:2. However, there are hidden sins of Sodom and Gomorrah that few know about. One of them was homosexuality, as we can see in Genesis chapter 19, when two angels sent by God arrived in Sodom and were hosted in my house. Now before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every quarter, surrounded the house. And they called to Lot and said to him, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us, that we may know them carnally." Genesis 19:4-5. This request was not innocent. They wanted to sexually abuse them. The situation was so severe that I was willing to give up my own daughters to protect the angels. But the inhabitants of Sodom refused my offer and tried to break down the door. In addition to homosexuality, Sodom and Gomorrah also committed other sins such as violence, pride, and lack of charity, as described by the prophet Ezekiel. "Look, this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom. She and her daughter had pride, fullness of food, and abundance of idleness. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy." Ezekiel 16:49. When I saw this, I understood the seriousness of what Ezekiel described. "Look, this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom. She and her daughter had pride, fullness of food, and abundance of idleness. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy." Ezekiel 16:49-50. The inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah were arrogant, lazy, and selfish. They did not care for the poor and needy, and they committed abominations in the eyes of God. Therefore, God punished them with His wrath, wiping them off the face of the earth. If you want to avoid the fate of Sodom and Gomorrah, I invite you to know Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came into the world to die for our sins and rise on the third day to give us eternal life. He is the only way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 14:6. If you believe in Him, you will be saved and have a personal relationship with God, who will give you peace, joy, and hope every day. Every day, we make many decisions, big and small, that influence our lives and the lives of others. Some decisions are right and bring blessings, while others are wrong and bring us problems. How can we make good decisions? What criteria should we use? What is God's role in our decisions? This is a very important part of the video, so I recommend that you pay close attention, because we will answer these and more questions using the story of Lot, Abraham's nephew, to understand better. Lot was the son of Haran, Abraham's brother, who died in Ur of the Chaldeans, his homeland. Lot accompanied Abraham when God called him to leave Ur and go to the land of Canaan that He had promised him. Lot was almost like a son to Abraham and shared with him the faith in the true God, as well as the prosperity and protection that God granted to Abraham. Genesis 11:27-12:5. However, Lot also faced some difficulties and temptations. One of them was the scarcity of pastures for his flocks and Abraham's, which caused conflicts between their herdsmen. To avoid a dispute between them, Abraham proposed to Lot that they separate and that he choose the part of the land he liked best. Lot, instead of honoring his uncle, looked towards the plain of Jordan, which was very fertile and well-watered, and chose it for himself. Thus, Lot separated from Abraham and moved closer to Sodom, one of the cities of the plain, which was very wicked in the eyes of God. Genesis 13:5-13. This was the first important decision that Lot made, which had great consequences for his life. Lot was led by appearance and greed and did not consult God or Abraham. He chose what seemed best for him, but did not realize that he was entering a danger zone. Lot separated from Abraham's blessing and fellowship and exposed himself to the influence and corruption of Sodom. Lot thought he had made a good deal, but in fact, he had made a bad deal. The second important decision Lot made was to settle in Sodom. He was not content to live near the city, but moved into it and became part of it. Lot adapted to Sodom's culture and lifestyle and became an important and respected man in the city. Lot had a house, a family, and a position in Sodom, but he also faced many problems. He suffered from the wickedness and violence of Sodom's inhabitants, who respected neither God nor man. Lot also had to face war and captivity when four kings invaded the plain and took Lot and all his possessions. Lot was rescued by Abraham, who interceded for him and set him free. Genesis 14, 1-16. This was the second important decision that Lot made, which also had consequences for his life. Lot compromised with Sodom and forgot God. Lot conformed to Sodom and lost his identity. Lot became contaminated with Sodom and strayed from his purpose. Lot thought he had found his place, but in reality, he was moving further away from God. In reality, I had completely lost my way. The third crucial decision I made was to leave Sodom. I did not leave of my own will, but by divine intervention. God decided to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah due to the great sin of these cities. He sent two angels to take me and my family out of the city before fire and brimstone fell from the sky. The angels arrived at my house and warned us to prepare to leave because God was about to devastate the city. I obeyed and went to warn my sons-in-law, who were married to my daughters, but they did not believe me and mocked. I hesitated to leave, and the angels had to take us by the hand, me, my wife, and my two single daughters, and lead us out of the city. The angels instructed us to flee to the mountains and not look back or stop anywhere. I asked them to let me go to a small town called Zoar, and the angels consented. I reached Zoar, and then God rained down fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah, destroying the cities and all their inhabitants. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt, Genesis 19:26. But what can we learn from this story? What message does God want to convey to us with this account? There are several relevant lessons for us today. Let's consider some of them. The first lesson is that our decisions have consequences, both for ourselves and for those around us. Every decision we make affects our life and that of others, for better or worse. Therefore, we must be responsible and wise in making decisions and not be led only by appearance, greed, or social pressure. We need to seek God's will and follow His principles, not those of the world and its pleasures. We must think of the long-term consequences, not just the immediate benefits. We must consider God's purpose for our life, not just our own interests. The second lesson is that God is interested in our decisions and wants to help us make the best choices. He does not leave us alone or abandon us to our fate. God guides and counsels us through His Word, His Spirit, and His people. He blesses and protects us when we follow His will. God corrects and disciplines us when we stray from the right path. He forgives and restores us when we sincerely repent and seek His grace. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. The third lesson is that our decisions have a global impact, and we must be light and salt to others. Our choices not only affect us, but also the people around us and the world we live in. They can be a blessing or a curse, an example or a scandal, a help or an obstacle to others. Therefore, we must be conscious and careful in making decisions, seeking the common good and justice, reflecting God's love and truth, not the world's hate and lies. You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Matthew 5:14-16. I hope this video has helped you understand this story better and reflect on its meaning for your life. If you liked it, share it with others so they can also know this relevant biblical account. Feel free to leave your comments, questions, and suggestions for future videos. I would love to know your opinion. Until next time, may God bless and protect you always. Amen.